Okay, so this afternoon, I want to speak about what I find one of the most important topics in the Bible, and it's of course following on our theme of what is God doing in His church. So I want to say God is looking for a unified church, a together church, not a splintered church, a together church. So it's a reoccurring theme throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we see that it speaks about being united in faith, being united in purpose, and being united in love. So I want you guys to keep that in the background as we look at this. So there are some key passages on unity if we look, and I'm sure you have heard these passages before. So the first one is in John 17 and verses 11 to 12. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. Jesus speaking to his Father. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one, Judas, obviously, doomed to destruction so that scripture would be fulfilled. If you look at that scripture, he's not saying make them one. It's not saying make them one. It's saying keep them one. There's a big difference between make them one and keep them one. So God is, Jesus is saying to his Father, please win, because you need to know, when Jesus went to the cross, the Christians just scattered all over the place because they had people coming after them. And so Jesus is saying, please keep them together. Keep them together. They're mine. You gave them to me. Keep them together. And so that scripture, Jesus' prayer, we often hear about the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord, and they speak about Matthew 6, but actually the Lord's Prayer is in John 17. And keep them as one. Sometimes that's Patty and I's cry when we pray over people's marriages. Keep them as one. Keep them together, Lord. Because you know what? In our first five years of marriage, God had to keep us together. It really wasn't healthy. It wasn't pleasant. But God did it. And then we got through those 5 years, and God began to work in our lives. And we can actually use our marriage today to help others because of what we've been through. It's not just what the Word says. It's actually life experience as well. Things that we've been through that we've learned to cope with. And so we cannot expect unity. We've got to work at it. We've got to work at it. Because Jesus realized when he died, there was going to be scattering. That scripture in the Old Testament actually talking about Jesus, where it says, if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. It's actually talking about Jesus. Next scripture, Ephesians 4 and chapter 4 and verses 3 to 6. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. And one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When you guys were baptized the other night, one baptism. We all go in the same baptism. If you change churches, your baptism still counts. It's not that you have to be rebaptized. There's one baptism, and that's into the church of God. The church being the word called ecclesia. It's the called out ones. You and I are called out from the world. We are called out. God has called us, and he's saying you are one. You are one. So we need to make every effort. Are you making every effort, guys? You know what? If you talk about somebody else, you're not making an effort. Because when you talk about that person, you're breaking down what should be going on. Where there should be the bond of peace, you're bringing the bond of disunity. You are breaking what God wants you to do. And so we need to make every effort. And so we also see, carry on to Ephesians 4 and verse 11 to 13. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. We got a conference coming up soon, and we're going to have apostolic voices there. We're going to have prophetic voices there. We're going to have all those fivefold ministries ministering into the lives of that conference, and we need to be there because it's the only place that we will find unity. I remember when I first started a church, I had this like, oh, everybody loves each other, and we all do things together, and the Lord sent us off to Nelspruit to go and start a church. So we got Nelspruit. The only other church there is the NGEA church. And so like they had an NGEA church close by where we were meeting of 7,000 people. So we felt a bit like isolated. But I remember they said, let's have a breakfast for all the pastors in the fraternal. Let's have a breakfast. So I went along to the breakfast. I thought, they paying. I'm going. And so I went along. And so where are you from? Oh, Jan Pirivit from there, and Mr. Van der Merwe from over there. And so it comes my turn to stand up now and say where I'm from. So, well, now you already know that things are not going to go right here. So I stand up. I say, my name's John Smith, and I'm from the Watchtower. All those eyes went like this, eh? From the Watchtower, the Jehovah Witnesses. I said, and you know what? I lead the fastest growing church in Nelspruit. It was a faith statement. I had nothing. But today, that church is 3,500 people. It's by far the biggest church in Nelspruit now. There were four of us at that stage. Yeah, so that was faith. But you know what? It happens under Ephesians 4 gift ministries. We were part of a movement of churches that oversaw us and spoke into our lives and helped us and encouraged us. And out of that place, we just grew and grew and grew. And then eventually Patsy and I handed that church over and went up to Benoni, took over another church, and that church grew and under the same apostolic gift ministry. I want to tell you guys, that's why you need to be there. We don't get these guys in our situation. There's just too few of them and too little time. The next well-known scripture when it comes to unity is Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity? It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This is a different translation. It's the one I want, but in the ESV it says, behold. Behold, it's look how wonderful it is. Behold, this is so wonderful. It's whatever follows is important. And it's how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Guys, I want to tell you, how pleasant is it when brothers and sisters live together in unity? But there is a catch. What happens when we dwell together? Husbands and wives? What happens when we dwell together? Don't tell me you all got the most magnificent marriages and never have an argument. Tim. That back door, we're going to put hell on the top there. But guys, when we dwell, we need to dwell together. We need to spend time together. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift each other up. But we need to dwell, and we're going to have things that we have to deal with. And you guys are fortunate that he's given you an eldership that is actually prepared and able to help you in every situation that you find yourself. He's given us some deacons to do all the work. But really, we need to dwell together. We need to spend time together. Church is not on, you come on Sunday afternoon, and then on Wednesday night, you go for a little top-up, and then you go through the rest of the week until you get to Sunday. No, we need to dwell together. We don't do it, guys. We don't do it. It's good. It's beautiful. It's best. It's better. It's bountiful. Because it reflects God's heart and the purpose of unity among his people. We should work at having good and peaceful relationships. That doesn't always work. But God has given us the ability to work through those things. You know that. We need to be prepared to work through those things. We can't be those that run or those that get aggressive. We need to be those that open our hearts and open our hands and say, Lord, how do we get through this? And you won't always get through it on your own. You will need people to help you. Like oil on the head. You know what? In that scripture where it talks about oil on his head. In the tradition where they lived there in that desert area, when someone arrived at your house and they were all dusty, they would actually pour oil on your head. And it would run down your face, and the smell of the oil was beautiful, and it would encourage, and that oil was a sign of, we love you, and we want you, we desire you to be with us. So it gives a good smell, and the illustration is wonderful. There needs to be this unity. It's not only good and pleasant itself, but it leads to lots of other good things. Like the dew of the mountains. Do you know that in Israel there's a mountain range, and on one side of the mountain range it's dry and it's desert. On the other side of the mountain range it's moist and it's fertile and stuff grows there. And that is because, and that's why it speaks about the dew of Hermon. That dew, every night, it waters the one side of the mountain. And that's what unity is like. When we're in unity, it's like we're being watered. We're being watered. And the Lord commands his blessing. I don't know where anywhere else in the Bible where it says that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. If you know, come and tell me afterwards and I'll refer you to Marco. But God commands his blessing. There's a lot of other places in the Bible when it says, if you do this, then I will bless you. Yeah, it's just if you live in unity, I command my blessing. So let's have a look at what breaks unity. Because these are the things, obviously, that we need to guard against. James 4 and verses 1 to 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you did not ask God. You do not ask God. You know what? When we see this so often as elders, people come into the church. And there's this saying. I want you to think about it. The way that you come into a church is normally the way that you left the church that you're coming from. So if you left there all arguing and fighting with someone, you're going to do that when you come into this church as well. And so God's given us a responsibility as shepherds to actually keep an eye on that. So when somebody comes in and the first thing they do is they complain about the lack of love. Oh, there's no love in this church. Be aware. Let your antenna go up. They're grumbling. The reason they're grumbling is they're not getting from the church what they want. So often people, they want something. Sometimes people will come in and they want a ministry. I want that. I want to be able to do that in the church. And because we say, no, you can't, they begin to start grumbling. If you find yourself in that place, take it to the Lord. Because what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. That sounds like a dreadful place to be. The next thing, importing fights from elsewhere. Sometimes your own church can be peaceful, but the church across the road have got stuck on this issue. They've got stuck on this issue, whatever it is. I can't think of a issue now. But they get stuck on an issue, and they begin to fight about it. And then your church gets pulled into that thing. And it's importing fights from elsewhere. You're not captive. Because you're connected to what is happening, often it can be family. Your family get involved and you have to then sort them out. You begin to agitate for a stance in your church that others see no need for. Guys, don't bring things into the church. Don't. If you're struggling with something and you're unable to sort through it, come to the leadership, come to the eldership, come to the deacons, come to the comm leaders is your first stop, first port of call. Stop and ask them, can you help me? I've got this problem. And obviously you're not going to know who the comm leaders are if you're not going to comm. You need to be in that place because that's where we help you to work through issues. I think most of you are in comms. Third thing, unresolved issues. Hebrews 12 and verses 14 to 15. Make every effort to live with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. There's a thing called the root of bitterness. It's when you get bitter about something and you don't deal with it. So it begins to grow. I don't know if any of you done gardening. In Cape Town, you haven't got very big gardens, so I don't know. Since we've moved here, back in Gauteng, we had this huge garden that we had to work on. But so when something takes, it gets stuck in the sand, and if it rains, that's the right time. Pull that thing out. So, what does that say? When it rains, when Jesus reigns, pull that thing out. Because I'm telling you, that thing will dig deeper and deeper. I told you guys about the plant that I was chopping out. Hey? I took a photo. I got that thing out. It was like a fish. I held it up like this. It was quite heavy. It was hard to hold it up there. But I tell you what, that thing stuck itself into my fingers and my arm and everywhere. And I was cutting and cutting and cutting. And then eventually I saw this, I thought, that's the root. I cut that off. Jeez, I still couldn't get it out. It had like hundreds of little roots going everywhere. I was pulling and I was cutting and eventually I got this thing out. I said to Patty, open that rubbish bin lid. This thing is going straight in there. But you know what? That was like a root of bitterness. It was really hard work to get that thing out. And we actually planted that plant. Hey? There's still a whole lot more babies, because what it does is it pops out of roots and then they just pop up everywhere along. There's a couple of them, but they're around on that side. They can stay there. But they're not coming back to where they were. Sheesh. I tell you, that was a root of bitterness. You know what? When you get a grudge like that, and you get uptight with people, you begin to become toxic to those around you. You begin to affect them in a way that's not good and it's not healthy. And it begins to poison those around you. The Bible warns, strive for peace with everyone, what we read just now, and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. I want you guys to know, if you don't live under the grace of God, you will have these roots of bitterness going down everywhere. What do you mean by the grace of God? The grace of God is the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. And you don't have to die. He did the job that we needed on the cross. He did all the work for us that we can walk in freedom. And so we need to live in that freedom. Don't allow these things of bitterness to get into our life. No, get it, throw it away. Throw it away. You come across people that just got lots of problems in their life. And you know what? Normally those people don't want to deal with their problems. Yes, you get those that have a problem from time to time and they come to you and you work those things out and you move on and you move forward. But you get people that accumulate and they accumulate. Like this thing, it just started popping up all over the show. And it was really, I tell you what, I took strain. That thing hurt me. I'd pulled an aloe out before that. And aloe is totally different. Yes, it scratches you and whatnot, but the juice of the aloe actually heals. This thing didn't heal nothing. It was just trying to... I told Patty, come and hold this plant while I take a photo. And it's normally because of unresolved issues. Learn to resolve issues by burying them instead of burying them and leaving them to fester. Because if you leave something buried, it's going to pop up. What were we talking about the other day? I said, when you get pus, you get like pus. It's normally something your body's trying to push out. There's something in there that it's trying to get rid of. And that's what happens with the root of bitterness. It's like it needs to come out of there. Number four, gossip and slander. I had a coffee date with Mornay about a week ago, Trish. Yeah. And he said to me, he did the study on gossip and slander. He said, gossip is too much talking about other people. Too much talking about other people. So in other words, if you talk about yourself, it's fine. But when you start to talk about other people, and it actually says, if you go and read the definition, it says whisper. So it's a, hey, you know about, hey, Andre, you know what I can tell you about Anita? Do you know about Anita? Slander is taking the action or crime of making a false spoken statement damaging to the person's reputation. So I say something about you that's going to damage you. And I do it intentionally. I speak that thing into your life. And you think, oh, that can't happen. It can happen. And that's why we as Christians need to actually be doing prayer stuff on a daily basis, because we need to be chopping that stuff off and getting rid of the stuff that's coming against us. I think it's Isaiah 40 where it says, no weapon against me will prosper. And then he says, he carries on later, he says, take those fiery darts that are coming to me and send them back to where they came from. We need to be doing that. We can't just think, oh, everything's fine. When you're fine, that's when you need to pray for the times when you're not going to be fine. Because when you're not fine, then you're going to struggle to pray. Then you need your friends and your family to be praying for you. But when you're fine, you need to pray. Lord, I need your grace now. I need you to help me identify. But I want to be in unity, and I don't want to be speaking over people. I want to sit and I want to enjoy their company. Tell me if you agree with me. There's some people that you just love being with. There are. There are people that you just like to be with. And then there are some people you really don't want to be with. They're like, oh no, man, we're going to see this person. There's none of those in this church. Just in case you worry, there's none of those in this church. No, I've been doing this for a while. Malicious is the third place. Malicious, talking bad about people with the intention of killing them in other people's eyes. Do you get that, Penny? Imagine that you're talking over somebody so that in the people around you, you're actually killing that person. Be very careful if someone comes up to you and says to you, have you heard? Have you heard? Like say, no, and I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. Best thing to do is, do you want to come with me to that person? We're going here together. Yeah, or go, na-na-na-na-na. My boys do that when I talk to them. I've got three sons. They go, na-na-na-na-na-na. When they don't want to hear what I'm saying. Before you know it, the person that they're talking about is damaged badly. Be careful, guys. Disaffection, fifth, disaffection towards leaders. You know what happens? People become disrespectful towards the leaders. And that's not a good place to be. If you get the chance, go and read Numbers 12. Miriam and Aaron decide that they can hear God as well as Moses can. And so God calls them out. And ba-boom! Leprosy, all sorts of stuff. God says, Moses doesn't just hear about me, I actually talk face to face with him. Be careful that you don't disrespect your leaders. I'm not talking about, oh, great and wonderful leader. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, hey, be respectful. Because what happens is they begin to question leadership. And as we see with God and Miriam in Numbers 12, he steps in and Miriam almost loses her life. It's only Moses begging on her behalf that actually stops her from getting killed. Lack of church discipline. 1 Corinthians 11:19. Paul actually writes, and you can read there, Paul writes and he says, you know what? There needs to be differences in the church so that I can show my approval on certain ones' lives. So when you find yourself in a place of not being in unity, there is a chance you're going to be judged. And people are going to see it and say, hey, look at that guy. He's not living out what he's supposed to. And Titus 3:10 says, as for a person, a lot of people in the church don't know these scriptures exist. Titus 3:10, it says, "As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned." Patsy and I, about 10 days ago, in this hall, we had to do a whole, well, we were part of a whole disciplinary thing that happened with Durbanville AM. They had a guy that had left his wife, and he refused to repent and to sort it out. And so this place is packed, and they did the discipline thing. And if you go and read in Corinthians, it actually says you hand him over to the devil. So it's not something you take lightly, but it's something that needs to be done. And so we need to be living in unity so we don't have these things happening. Theological importance of unity reflects the nature of God, and it's a testimony to the world. God says, "Love one another as I have loved you. Let people know that you are my disciples by your love one for another."